Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, you know what? We are in this series called Narrow, and it comes from this verse, actually, in Matthew 5. It's what it is. It's the very beginning of it's a sermon that Jesus does. He walks up to a mountain and does a sermon, and that's why it's quite often called the Sermon on the Mount. And what it is it's the attributes and the characteristics that Christ is asking us to be as followers of him, as Christians. And so what I love about this passage is it's not just some genealogy where we're getting to learn about Christ, or it's actually something that we can carry ourselves and that we can learn to be more like Christ by reading through this. And so we've had a great series so far. We've had some amazing guests. We've had Pastor Sam speak so many great words. We've had Pastor Justin Reimer, Pastor Paul Donker as well. So if you're in the chat right now, why don't you type in a quick, like, what's your favorite message so far? Maybe your best revelation or word that you've gotten so far through this series, because we're a community in that chat. So why don't you type that in? But I love that this is a guide for us. And so I'm going to read now through Matthew 5, and we're going to read through some of these Beatitudes. So we've already touched on a bunch of these, but in verse 3 it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And you know what? There's something about these Beatitudes that they're not just characteristics and attitudes that we get to carry, but there's actually a reward for carrying those attributes. So when we are in mourning, we will be comforted. There's a fruit, there's a reward for the action. And everything that we do in life, there is some sort of reward, fruit, or even a consequence. Nothing that we do has nothing at the end of it. There is always a fruit, a reward, or a consequence. And so blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I love how upside down the Bible is, how it talks about something that you wouldn't think inherits the earth is actually the one that does. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then my verse for today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So the fruit here is actually that they will be called children of God, which kind of stuck out to me as being quite a contrasted thing that I wouldn't necessarily think would go with peacemaking, but there's this beautiful identity that's actually attached to peacemaking. So I'm going to just pray quickly right now. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these Beatitudes. I thank you for what we've learned so far. And I know that we're going to learn even more today, Father. So thank you that your anointing and your hand and your voice is on this message right now today, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. So blessed are the peacemakers. And I mean, this message couldn't have come at a better time. I don't know where you're watching from right now, but you know what? In Toronto, we just got news this week of a stay-at-home order, which marks, I guess, 13 months now of lockdowns, shutdowns, stay-at-home orders, emergency orders, basically the same thing, just said in 20 different ways. And so we have been in our homes, and we finally started to get some sense of normalcy. You know, restaurants were starting to open up patios again, and it was the most exciting thing in Toronto. And we were like, yes, maybe normal things are going to start to happen again. And then we got told to stay at home again. So I don't know where you're at right now, but if you're in Toronto, my heart is out here with you. We are right here in the city with you. But you could be anywhere facing anything, because this pandemic has taken its toll on so many people in so many ways. And there is not just one way that people are struggling. People are struggling in so many ways. And so wherever you're at right now, I believe that this is a timely message from God that we are called to be peacemakers. So maybe you are somewhere and you're caring for a sick loved one through this season. Maybe you're on the verge of losing your business, or you know people that are on the verge of losing their businesses. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you are struggling with mental health issues. We've seen marriages that are on the rocks from this. We've seen people lose their houses because of this. We've seen so many terrible things happen in this last 13 months. But there is hope. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus. And I know that this message is going to help you today. But if you are in one of those hard situations, I do want to highlight, actually, that we do have a prayer room. So you can click and a host will pray with you right now. Or at the end of the service, you can actually go to our Post Lobby Vibes and someone can pray with you there as well. Because you know what? You are not alone with whatever you are going through. We are here to help. And you can even reach out to the church if you are struggling financially, because our Project Love To You is in full swing. And we do not want you to be stuck struggling on the other end of this camera, because there is community here to help you. So let me preface this message. So when you read, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are children of God. You can sometimes let your mind think a million different things. It's such a beautiful scripture that can be interpreted so many different ways, and a lot of them are really right ways to interpret it. But what I want to preface is what I'm not speaking about today. So I am not speaking today about creating world peace. Okay, I'm not speaking about how we as people are called to go out there and make peace. Although we are, that is totally a right way to interpret the scripture. We are meant to go out and make peace in people's worlds. But it's not where I want to start this message today. It's not what I want to focus on today, because I believe that we can get so stuck and so caught up in looking outside of our world, and we can see all of the division outside of our world, and we can think that we need to bring peace there, but we can ignore the division that's in our own heart. At the very core of what peacemaking is, at the very core of what peace is it's a lack of division. It's complete unity with Christ. And so I want us today to be a little bit challenged by this, that I think all of us have that little bit of division inside of us. All of us have some area inside our worlds where we're not in complete unity with Christ. And I don't want us to just focus out, because if we focus out, we'll miss what we can get on the inside. So what I want to focus on today is, how do we make peace in our own world? How do we make peace between us and God? And I'm not talking about, like, you know, how to be one with yourself and, you know, just focus on yourself and, you know, go into your happy zen place and zone out and I am at peace with myself. This is just beautiful. That's not what I am talking about right now. So don't hear me wrong. What I'm talking about is that disunity that we can cause between us and Christ, and making peace with Christ in our heart, in our spirit, in our minds. Let's make peace with Christ. And so, oh my gosh, there we go. So I want to ask you right now, are you in peace in your life? Do you feel peace? Is your mind at peace? Is your spirit at peace? Is your heart at peace? Is your whole soul and being at peace? And my question to you is, if it's not, which chances are it's not, because we're not all at peace all the time, is maybe there's a division between you and Christ that we need to sort out, that we need to deal with. So let's be honest with ourselves. So in Romans 8, 38 to 39, there's this great scripture, and it says, it talks about this division between us and Christ. And it's a positive scripture because it says in 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So then why do we feel separate from him? If all of these things won't cause us to be separate from him, why do we? Where does this division come from? So before we go and put our capes on and try and be superheroes in our world and go and fix all of the disunity out there, let's fix the disunity in ourselves, in our heart, in our mind, and in our spirit. So where do we actually find this peace? We've already heard me touch on it. Where do we find peace? Where do we actually find peace? And I don't know how you've coped in the last 13 months, but, you know, we've all got our coping mechanisms. We've all got our things that we have tried to go and use or do to create peace in our world, because it's been a pretty tumultuous season. It's been a bit crazy. And I know for me, one of the things that I am going to admit to you all, and maybe if you're brave, you can admit to some of your vices in the chat right now, but one of the things for me and in our household has been chocolate. And I would say, I'm embarrassed to admit it when I started to look at the numbers, but we're at like a good 1 to 2, maybe even 3, maybe even 4 blocks a week kind of category within our household. And when I say that, I mean me and Sam. And when I say that, I mean 90% me and 10% Sam. And when I did the numbers, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, that's a good 100, 200. That could be like close to 300 blocks of chocolate in the last, you know, 12 months that we have devoured. And there's nothing wrong with chocolate. It's wonderful. I love it. It is a great like little fix to kind of help in the moment. But it's not something that lasts. It's not something that actually brings peace to me long term. And I don't know what you go to maybe that helps you when you're needing peace. Maybe you go to your friends or your family. That's a great thing. But maybe it won't actually fully hit you with all of the peace that you need. Maybe you go to Instagram to vent. That could be a thing that we do. Maybe we go to Instagram to escape. I know that I can fall into that sometimes. It's just nice to kind of scroll and just escape on people's vacation feeds. And then you're like, wait, why, how are you going on a vacation? And no one else is, but that's another thing. Maybe you even go for a walk outside, which is nice. Maybe you live somewhere where there's trees and you can enjoy the trees. Or maybe it's Netflix. Or maybe, you know, it's just too much chocolate, like I do. But whatever it is, these things are these beautiful things of life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying these finer things in life. But they should be this little bit of extra on top of what we already have in Christ. They can't actually be our source. Jesus is our ultimate source. It says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, which is another great scripture that speaks so directly into this season. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God," the peace of God, the peace of God, "which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." True peace comes from Christ. The ultimate, true, pure peace comes from Christ. It's simple, it's true, it's basic. Maybe you've heard it before, but that is where it truly comes from. It transcends all understanding. The fact that this scripture says it transcends understanding, I try and understand so much in my world, and maybe you're like me, but this peace, it cannot be understood. It is unexplainable. When you experience it, you can't even put words to it. It is above and beyond anything. We can't even describe it. It transcends all understanding. And you know what else it does is it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's not a peace that just makes us feel good and just makes us feel better about our world, but it actually has action to it. It is a peace that guards our hearts and our minds. It creates a protective barrier from other things that can try and get in and try and steal it again. It actually helps us to keep that peace within ourselves. It's not a band-aid peace. It's a fulfilling, healing and protective peace. And the only way that we can get it is through Christ Jesus. But I love what it says in this passage with the Beatitudes, where it says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The reason why we have access to this peace is because we are his children. This is the only beatitude that speaks to our identity. It's the only one in the whole list. The rest of them have other fruits and other, you know, beautiful rewards that come with them. But this one speaks to our identity, who we are in Christ, who made us, where we came from, who we look like. And so it comes from our Father. There is this identity and a rest and a peace that comes when we know that we are children of God. And I mean, I couldn't talk about being children of God without talking about my own children and what that's like. And I know in our household, we are so blessed with an amazing father in our household. I couldn't have married a better guy to father my children. Not only did he make them look super cute because he's got great genes, but he's also a great father. And I noticed that, you know, especially in this last year, there's been these really crazy, crazy moments where, you know, there's three children now. There was only two children when the pandemic started, and now there's three children. And it's loud and it's chaotic and it can be just completely crazy and just overwhelming, and there's screaming and there's crying and there's fighting, and I can just be like, what is going on? And the second that Sam walks into the room, a calm comes on the place. The kids are happy. They calm. There's this anointing and this weight of peace and calm that Sam actually brings into the room. And, you know, that's something that maybe if you're a dad watching this, that's something to, like, go after as a husband and as a dad. It's such an honorable trait. It might be one of my favorite. There's some others that, you know, I love in the husband category of my husband, but the father category of my husband, this is probably one of my favorite traits. And I think that that's exactly the way that Christ is with us. And the more that we are in relationship with our Father, actually the more that we become like our Father. And so it's this, like, it's this kind of like cycle effect. So as we're peacemakers, we're identified as being children of God. But the only way that we can be identified as being children of God is because we are aware of that identity, and then we outwork the peacemaking. It's kind of like this circle thing that happens. And so I don't know what your dad is like in this world. I have no idea. He could be amazing. He might not even be around at all. But I know that when our Father, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, when he comes into our world and when he comes into the room, there is peace, there is calm, that we can rest knowing that we are his, that we're not just followers. This scripture could have said that. It could have said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called followers of Christ. It could have said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called servants of Christ. It could have said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are, you know, kind of great friends with Christ. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are children of God. They are children of God. There's an identity that comes in that. So our Father in heaven, let me give you a picture of who he is, because maybe you've never known him as that. Maybe you've only known him as this, like, God up in the sky that doesn't really care, or maybe you just don't know about him at all. But let me give you a picture of what our Father in heaven is like. He is for you. He's actually for you. He actually made you because he wanted one of you, which, again, how unexplainable and like, we can't even understand that. He is for you. He has good things in store for you if you follow him and follow his ways. He has good things in store when we follow the plan that he has for us. He made you for a purpose. He didn't just make you to just be. He made you with specific gifts and abilities. He made you for a reason and a purpose to make a difference in this world, in people's lives. He is bigger than anything that you can face, absolutely bigger than anything. Nothing is comparable to how great and mighty he is. His wisdom supersedes any earthly wisdom. If you have a problem that you are struggling to understand, his wisdom supersedes anything that you could read in a book. He's just incredible. He's the ultimate authority. And he moves in the miraculous. This year has been filled with stories of pain and heartache and loss. But do you know what else this year has been filled with? Incredible stories of the miraculous. In how a year that has been just so unprecedented, this has been also an unprecedented year in miracles. The lowest of lows has brought the highest of highs, because we have so lent into him. We have gone into his presence. We have gone after him. And we have just heard so many miracles from you guys in this community, from friends and family. We've seen people buy houses. Who buys houses in a pandemic, when people are losing jobs? people that are following Christ, the miraculous. He makes miracles happen. We've seen people fall pregnant, and we've seen people fall pregnant for the second time that couldn't fall pregnant the first time, and they've fallen pregnant again the second time. That it's miraculous. We've seen marriages restored. So yes, we've seen pain, but we've seen the restoration of marriages. We've seen the restoration of family units. We've seen so many miracles come to pass. And so I want to remind you that He is the God of the miraculous in your world, because He cares about you. So that is what the peace is that we are trying to become. That is the peacemakers that we are trying to become, is people that carry Christ in our own world, in our own being, and then take it out there. So my second point then is, how do we make this peace then? How do we make peace? We're not peacekeepers. We're not just peace carriers, but we're peacemakers. So how do we make peace? And how do we make peace then when the peace actually comes from God? We can't ourselves be the ones to make it. So I want to share a little story about how when I've tried to make peace, because I like peace. I like keeping the peace. I like making peace. And we were in this season, and you might relate to this. Maybe you can write in the chat as well. As I'm talking, you'll be thinking about moments when you've tried to make peace in your own world. But I remember this time, we'd had this really crazy year, and we ended up going to Calgary for Christmas time. And it was so stinking cold. It was like, we've lived in Calgary before, so I'm not talking like someone who hasn't lived their experience in Calgary. This was like, we've lived there, and it was like the coldest thing that we'd ever experienced even living there. It was like minus 40. There was massive wind chill warnings. There was like, don't go outside for longer than 10 minutes unless you're completely covered. And we traveled all the way over there to enjoy a beautiful white Christmas, to enjoy snowboarding. And we were in our home, and it was just devastating and horrible. And Sam and I looked at each other, and we're like, you know what? We're not going to do a white Christmas next year. That's it. We're going to go sunny Christmas. Florida Christmas, here we come next year. We are making peace in our world. It's chaotic. And we did. We had the most crazy year after that. But we started planning as of January. We booked the Airbnb, we booked our flights, and we were excited. We told the kids 12 months in advance that this was happening. And so we're just looking forward to this. All year, this is going to be great. This is going to be the most peaceful vacation that we've ever had. And we are going to be so well rested to take on the year after. So it gets close to the time. And we have now nicknamed this the vacation from hell, because it was terrible. So our Airbnb canceled 3 weeks before. So we had to find a new Airbnb. And we're like, well, you know, we're still like in high spirits. It's still going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. We went down there with Marie and Josh, my brother and sister-in-law, and their children. So it was this big, beautiful family vacation. We get there. The day I get there, I start to come down with cold symptoms. And I'm like, maybe this is, you know, just like my immune system. This happens, right? Your immune system kind of crashes a little bit when you go on vacation. And so I start getting sick. 3 days in, I'm so sick that my eardrum bursts. I'm so swollen, my sinuses. I have to fly home early because I had to get medical care. Kenzie got sick and had to fly home early to get medical care. Marie had got the stomach flu, and she was like, just, it was not a pretty sight for her. Her daughter got the stomach flu as well. Sam got a cold as well. And basically by the end of it, the only person still standing was Josh and my son Noah. And they had a great vacation. But the rest of us, on the other hand, oh, and then to top that off, because I left early to come back, it messed up a few of the flights, and then the rest of the family actually missed their flight on the way back. So it was kind of like the icing of the cake on a terrible vacation, missing their flight home. All that to say, how much do we try and do this in our lives? We try and make peace. We try and make these situations happen. We try and cross every T and dot every I and put in all the effort to try and make peace happen. But God just keeps reminding us how much we can't. We are not the ones to make the peace. We cannot do it. We can't rest enough or go on enough vacations, or, you know, we can't lay in a bath with candles enough, although that is really, really nice. We can't do that enough to make peace in our world. It just will not fulfill. But I tell you what we can do. We make peace when we connect with God. That's how we make peace. It's as simple as that. We make peace by connecting with God. In Philippians 4, 6, 7, which I shared earlier, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Right here gives us the formula of how we can make peace with God. So the first thing, in every situation, no matter what you're facing right now, whether it seems terrible and horrible, or maybe it just only seems a little bit like a hard situation, every situation, we bring it to Christ. And then we bring it to him by prayer and petition. So we get into the prayer place. We don't just think about it. We don't just try and fix it in our own strength. We get into prayer and petition with him. And we don't just do it in a begging way. We do it where it says here with thanksgiving. We don't pray prayers like, God, I just beg you, like if you can just do this, if you can just do this. No. We go in there with thanksgiving. Lord, you are good. You have come through so many times before. I know you're going to come through again. This is incredible. And then we present our requests to God. No one else, just God. He's the only one that can fulfill it. So in order to make peace, more God equals more peace. More God equals more peace. So if you're not feeling it right now, let me encourage you. In order to make peace in your world, you might need more of the word. You might need more prayer. You might need more worship. And you might need more action where you step out on something that God's asked you to do. And this isn't works-based Christianity, let me clarify. This isn't do something so that God makes peace with you. What this actually is this is do something so that you can clear off any of the junk on yourself and reignite that connection with Christ. He's always there. We read earlier, nothing changes. There's nothing that can come against us that will disconnect our relationship with God. But we can. We can muddy it up and we can try and do it all in our own strength and we kind of end up like this. And so what more prayer and more word and more worship does is it does this. And we can see that God was there all along and it gets us into that place and we can actually make peace with God. And then once we make peace with God, making peace out there and creating world peace, well, it's a little bit different. We don't have to do it in our own strength anymore. We do it because we've made peace with Christ. So Jesus himself, he was the ultimate peacemaker. The ultimate peacemaker. What he did is he died on the cross. He did an action so that we could actually have peace with God in heaven. Wow. The ultimate peacemaker. Nothing that we can do can ever compare to that. Yeah. He laid it all down. He paid the price. He went through this scary situation, this overwhelming situation, all of this pain so that we could have connection with God here and now, straight away. Because of this sacrifice, we get that privilege. And so we follow in his footsteps, and yes, we make a difference in our world by making peace out there, and we reconnect with God. But let's follow Jesus and be peacemakers. Let's follow his example. And just, we can thank him for the decisions that he made and for how he led the way for us to be able to have God in our lives every single day. And so I don't know where you are at right now, but maybe this idea of relationship with God or relationship with Jesus all seems very foreign to you. Or maybe you have had relationship with Jesus before and you feel like you've drifted away in this last season. I want to invite you right now to invite Jesus into your heart, to start a relationship, perhaps for the first time, or maybe again with Jesus, and to walk with him going forward. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to invite you to, if you want to make that decision right now, that you can click on the I raise my hand button. And what we're going to do together is we're going to say a prayer together. And what this prayer does is it just begins that connection. It begins that back and forth exchange between you and Christ. It clears out any of the junk that's in the way and starts that dialogue with your Heavenly Father, the one that loves you and cares about you so, so much. So if that's you today, right now, why don't you just repeat after me as I say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart today. I thank you that you died on the cross to set me free. I repent of my past. Wash me clean. Make me new. And help me to follow you as Savior and as Lord of my life from this day forward. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.